Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, we're looking at verses 10 through 15. Now, many of you grew up in this church. Some of you grew up in other churches. I grew up in a Baptist church, and it seems very strange to sing just as I am, except at the very end. But you know what? What incredible preparation, because we've got a lot of scriptures that are talking about the Word of God today. And its commands, how wonderful they are. They're sweet as honey. Why is that? Well, it's not because we read them and we realize that I can keep them. It's not because we read them and we realize, oh, I'm doing well. But we read them and we realize, we cry out to God and say, I can't keep these laws that are so excellent. But the Word speaks then of the Lord Jesus Christ, who come, who perfectly obeyed, who was without sin, who is able to sympathize with us in our weakness because, though tempted in every way as we are, was without sin, able to be our high priest. And so how incredibly important to sing this song before we consider the Word of God together, because in the Word of God we have this understanding that we have no plea except in the blood of Christ, in the one who obeyed this law perfectly on our behalf and suffered on the cross because of our disobedience, according to this word, and gives us hope for eternity. I appreciate the end of Romans chapter 7, in which it says, you know, the very thing I want to do is the thing I keep on, like, I'm not able to do, and the thing I don't want to do is the thing I keep doing. Who will save me? Wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of sin and death? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's what the beauty of the Word gives to us, our need for Christ, but then God's provision of Christ for us. So as we consider that word together, keep that in mind. That's what we're considering today, is the importance of hearing the Word of God. Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 10, and we'll read through verse 15. And because this is not merely an ancient book, but the very Word of God, and given to us by the Holy Spirit, but also given understanding to us by the Holy Spirit, let's pray and ask God to help us as we consider it together. Our Father and our God, we thank you for being a God who speaks, for not being a God who is silent, who is mute, but a God who hears the cries of your children, whose ear is attentive to them, and a God who speaks to us, who speaks word of truth, hard truth sometimes in our lives, but a God who speaks comfort to show us that you have given us all that is needed for body and soul. Father, that you have lavished your grace upon us in mercy. And so, Father, I pray that we would hear the word of grace today, that we would be confronted with our need to be careful hearers of your word when you speak. And I pray, Father, that you would cause these things to be understood by us, by your Holy Spirit. Direct the speaker and the hearer today, that your word might indeed be planted deep within our hearts, and that we might produce a harvest of righteousness. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you remember Paul and Silas have entered Europe? They've gone to Philippi, and of course, wherever they go, there's trouble. They've turned the world upside down, and that's what the men of the previous town said about them. Those men that have turned the world upside down have now come here. There's a riot, like there always is when Paul preaches, and they're kind of carried out of town. They leave town, and they move on to the next town, to the town of Berea. And that's where we pick up this morning in verse 10 of chapter 17. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them, therefore, believed, and not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. But when Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. Thus ends the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. May he indeed add his blessing to it. A lot depends on listening carefully. perhaps this week, as you know, we're kind of in between conventions, aren't we? We got through the Republican convention last week. The Democratic convention is coming up. Did you listen to any of the speeches? And if so, did you listen carefully? Clearly, our media did not listen very carefully. You can tell by the way in which things were reported. All the concern about whether Melania Trump plagiarized Michelle Obama, irrespective of what she said. There was no concern about the content of what she said. And what about Ted Cruz's speech? Everyone said he said bad things about Donald Trump. Well, I didn't find that. I don't know if you heard that speech, but it sounds like to me a man was pleading for people to consider principles. How carefully do we listen to the things that we hear? Failure to listen carefully and critically creates confusion. It misdirects our efforts. How carefully, men, do you listen to your wives? Now we're getting to it, aren't we? How carefully do you listen when they're giving you careful instruction or when they're talking about the difficulties of the day? And we're sometimes in mode. And the next thing we know, our wife's staring at us, and she knows that we haven't heard a word with our ears. But the sound went in, the auditory senses kicked in, but the heart, the mind, didn't really engage. I'm sure you guys don't do that. I've made an observation in life that our ability to communicate, and here's the mathematician coming out, is inversely proportional to the number of communication devices we have. How many cell phones do you have in your family? Is your communication better? How many smartphones do you have? Is your communication even better? The more sometimes we communicate through these devices, the poorer our communication is. We don't really listen conscionably. Our confession of faith talks about how we are to listen to the Word of God preached. We're to listen conscionably. That means with careful reflection, more than with merely our ears, but with our minds. Hearing is simply our physiological response to sound. But listening is kind of applying a vigilance to it, isn't it? Now, you think about it. Remember when you got your new refrigerator? The old one, as much as you loved it, came to the end of its life. And you had to go to Lowe's or Leonard's or wherever you get a refrigerator. And you got a new one. And you brought it into the house. And it was the loudest thing you'd ever heard. Every noise. Every time it kicked on the ice maker, you thought that the world was going to come to an end. It was so loud. And then a week later, it got quiet, didn't it? Because you don't hear it anymore. You begin to tune it out. You know that's a safe noise, and I don't need to hear that. When we go to a different place, if we move to a different house, we're vigilant all of a sudden. And all the things that perhaps we tuned out in the previous place, now we listen carefully. Is that a noise I need to respond to or not? That's the way we need to listen to the Word of God, is with a sense of vigilance. It is easy, isn't it, to tune out so much of what we hear. It is easy to tune out so much. Our service every week is wall-to-wall Scripture. But it's easy sometimes to kind of fall into the pattern of tuning it out, of going through it in a mechanical fashion. We need to listen conscionably. Now, this is not a new problem, is it? Because we notice what the author of the book of Acts says about the men of Berea. They were more noble than the Jews in Thessalonica. And why is that? What does the scripture say? Why were they more noble? Because they received the word with eagerness, examining the scriptures, how often? Daily, to see if these things were so. Don't believe it because I tell you. Believe it because I tell you and I'm consistent with the Word of God. Believe it because the Word of God says it. All writers, speakers, you may have some great books in your library. Corey, I know you have a lot of great books. And some of you love books. You love the great books by men who thought deeply about the things of God. But they all had a bias. They all had some errors. They all had some confusion. Follow them as they follow Christ. Follow them as they're consistent with Scripture. Examine the Scriptures daily to see if those who are speaking into your lives are speaking consistent with the Word of God. Listen conscionably and carefully. The men of Berea were more noble because they listened carefully. That word noble is an interesting word. It's used only three times in the New Testament. And it literally means men of good birth. That's the phrase. The word noble there means good beginning, quite literally in Greek. Listening carefully to the Word of God is a good beginning. If you want to be a man of good beginning, listen carefully, critically to the Word of God, prayerfully. Our confession of faith, usually when we think about, when you hear a preacher, someone says, well, how was the preacher? What do we talk about? Well, he told some funny stories. He was really animated with his hands. Or I saw one preacher that was really animated with his leg. I mean, he had a kick. But how many of us say, I just didn't listen very well today? I was having trouble really getting notes today. We don't usually think about the preaching of the Word of God in relation to how well we listened. It was how well the preacher preached, how engaging he was, or his topic was. But our confession of faith asks an interesting question in one of its catechisms. What is required of those who hear the word preached? And here's the answer. Listen carefully. It is required of those who hear the word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Examine what they hear by the scriptures. Receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the word of God. Meditate and confer of it. Hide it in their hearts, and bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. Now, of course, each of these phrases is drawn out of some scripture, right? The catechism is not scripture. It is a summary of what scripture teaches. It's larger catechism 160, if you're curious. How do you listen? How are you prepared to listen? Does that describe the way in which you come to hear the Word of God? Are you a man of good beginnings because you've made preparation to hear what God has to say? How will you give careful attention to what you hear today? How will you remember what you hear? And what will you do with it after you leave this place? You might say to yourself, I listen carefully as long as the message is relevant and important to me. How do you know it will be today? How do you know that what I say today will be important to you? Not because of what the content is or what your particular need is, but it's because of the one who says it. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about God. Right? The relevance of the message is based on the one who speaks. Because, children, your mom and dad will say a lot of things to you which you would like to think are irrelevant, like, clean your room. Oh, that's not important. I've got pets to watch and care for. I've got fun things to do. I've got pictures to draw. But those things are very relevant, right? Because that person is an authority. I need to listen carefully and respond to what that person is saying into my life. Older children, your parents will give you that advice because they have been where you have been and they have been beyond where you have been and they know what's coming up. And you sometimes may be tempted to think, oh, mom and dad, they don't know what's going on with me. They don't understand. Well, yes, they do. You need to listen. Not because you think it's relevant at the time, but because it's relevant because of who's speaking into your life. So let none of us say, well, yeah, I'll listen carefully if it's relevant. But to recognize that because it's the Word of God, it is relevant to you, to every one of you. So I want us to consider just a few important truths from this passage this morning. The men of Berea were more noble, were men of good beginnings because they received the word with eagerness and examined scripture daily to see if what was said was true. So there's a few things that we draw from that. First of all is that the word preached is the word of God. It is the word of God and therefore comes with authority. Not the authority of the preacher, not the preacher trying to manipulate you in some way, but it's the very word of God. One of our Reformed confessions says that the Word of God preached is the very Word of God, so long as it is consistent with the Scriptures and brought out of the Scriptures. You know, if I just get up here and give you my opinions today, that's 25 cents will get you a coffee refill down at the Shell station. But if it's the Word of God, it comes with authority. not the personal authority of my skill or my person, but because it comes from God himself. Consider, Paul says in writing to the Thessalonians later on, he says, you know, we thank God for you because that when you received us, you received our word, not merely as the word of men, as traveling preachers, but as the very word of God. Do you believe that the scripture is the very word of God? No, most of us would confess that. But practically, do we believe that? Do we believe that this is authoritative in our life? How would our lives be different if we really believe that? Would we, when we have trials of conscience, when we have confusion over things, would we go here and look and say, what does the scripture say? Would we wrestle with how to understand what the scripture says? It's hard sometimes, isn't it, to understand what the scripture is saying about particular things? We wrestle with that. We acknowledge that. Just like it's hard for our children sometimes to understand what their parents are saying. But yet, it is to be accepted. It's authoritative. It is not just the word of God, you know, in the life of, only the, in the sense of the Bereans. Paul and Silas are preaching to them, and they have accepted with eagerness the word of God, and not only the scriptures which we have inscripturated for us, but preaching is also the word of God. When preaching comes out of the scriptures, it becomes also the word of God. Notice we don't have the word given to the Bereans here. We just have that Paul preached the word to them. But they received it. They received it as authoritative. If a famous celebrity, even if you didn't agree with them or like them, came to a place here in Pottsville, maybe your favorite politician or your least favorite politician, who's very high profile, if they came and were giving a speech at Potts Inn, you'd probably be there. Be interested to hear what this important person has to say. If a celebrity or political figure sent a special message to you, unless it came in one of those emails from East Africa, then don't read that or open that or respond to that. That's a hoax. But if someone important in your life speaks to you, you're going to listen. You're going to perk up. You're going to bring your family to hear what they have to say. Well, what if God speaks to you? How carefully are we going to listen? How eagerly? These men were not just careful listeners, they were eager listeners. Because they understood that it was God speaking to them. What a miracle that is. You know, as a pastor, I get embroiled in these discussions with people a lot of times about the inerrancy, the infallibility of the Word of God. And there's lots of discussion about which translation and which Greek text. And those are important discussions to have. But if you can grasp the miraculous nature of an eternal God who stands outside of time, being able to speak in a coherent way to his creatures, then it's easy to understand that God is able to preserve his word without error. That God is able to communicate to us a word that is authoritative and faithful and trustworthy. What an incredible miracle that the God of all creation would... I appreciate what John Calvin said, that he veils himself in human words to unveil himself to our minds and hearts by faith. The Word of God is just that. It is the Word of God. That's not just a cute little epithet we apply to the Bible as another way of talking about it. Do you believe it? Do you accept that? Come to it with eagerness. And so that's the first principle that we see in this passage, is that the Word preached is the Word of God. It comes with authority. But it's also a word of God. It's not a picture. It's not a dramatic presentation. It's words. God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. God has communicated to us. In fact, he's forbidden us to attempt to make imagined pictures of him, because then we are defining who he is or which of his attributes are most important. He's given us word. Word that is tried seven times as in a fire, the scripture says, that has gone through careful scrutiny, but it is a word. And so therefore, A word is something that we need to engage our minds to understand. How carefully do you listen to the word? Language follows rules, and it is to be understood according to the rules of how we understand language. There was a great debate in the time of the Reformation about the Lord's Supper, oddly enough. What does it mean when it says, "This is my body"? Does it mean, as the Catholic Church taught and currently teaches, that when we come down here and we pray and we begin to receive this meal, that it turns into actually the physical body and blood of Christ? We don't believe that. That's not what Scripture teaches us. But when it says, "This is my body," what does that mean? Well, one of the most important reformers who wrote on that was a man named Huldrych Zwingli. And he wrote, we got to understand that the Bible is filled with all kind of language. Some of it's poetic. Some of it's metaphor. Some of it's history. Some of it's law. Some of it are letters. You understand that. And when you come to understand a passage in the Word of God, you understand what kind of literature is this. It's a word. So the rules for understanding language apply to how we understand the Scriptures. It is a word to be heard. So how careful are you to hear it and to understand it? The Bereans received the word with eagerness and with preparation. They were ready to hear it as words. What did you do to prepare to hear the word today? And I'm not chastising you. I'm just asking. What is there something that we do to prepare? They came and they understood. When they heard, they went back later and searched the Scriptures daily. So there's a habit, isn't there? There's a habit of daily preparation. Daily, they're reviewing. What did the preacher say last week? And having debates around the dinner table, maybe, or going and looking at other Scriptures. That made me think of a Scripture over here. Now, we have such excellent ways of being able to do that. I mean, how many of you have a smartphone? You've probably got a Bible app on your smartphone. You've got searchable Bibles. You've got concordance. Even if you're like me and you still kind of live with books more than... I was at a store this week, and I asked someone, one of the clerks, I said, "Can you tell me where the books are?" And the response was, "You mean like ones you read?" And I thought, wait a second, are there books we don't read? But anyway... you've got a concordance in the back of your Bible. You've got lots of ways to... Our Bibles are neatly divided into books and chapters and verses. The men of Berea didn't have that. It's scrolls, okay? How many of you got a scroll with you today? It's kind of hard when a text comes to mind to go find that in the scroll. It's not a chapter and verse. You've got to go... These guys had the Scriptures memorized. Jewish children memorize the Scriptures. When a boy became 13, he was a son of the law. That's what bar mitzvah means, a son of the law. Because he had essentially memorized the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. So, preparation for hearing it on the Lord's Day involves time spent in the Word throughout the week. What are you doing to prepare yourself to hear the Word? They knew the Scriptures well enough that they could go back without Logos software, without smartphones, without searchable text, without chapter and verse divisions, and see if what Paul preached on was true or not. And Paul probably in that culture was preaching out of the Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint, and they probably also compared the Greek and the Hebrew. I mean, these weren't theological students. These were people attending worship. How carefully are you hearing and studying the Word of God? They studied the Word of God before and after preaching. Well, what are some practical ways you can do this? Well, you need to be in your Word each day. You need to bring your Bibles to church. You need to have them open. In the ancient world, when people read a book, they didn't read silently. Right? Silent reading. In school, a teacher would say, "Okay, now read silently, students." There was no silent reading in the ancient world. If you read, you had the book, you read out loud. Because multiple senses helps you to understand sometimes, doesn't it? When you read with just your eyes, you may misread something, but when you have to verbalize it, sometimes you realize, oh, that doesn't say exactly what I thought. And so in the same way, when you hear the word read, have it open so you can read along. You can see all the places where I get confused and read the wrong words or flip them. Have your copy of God's word open in front of you. Because there may be other things that God's calling your attention to in the reading of the word. Take notes. You may say, well, I don't know how to take notes. Hey, these children will come up after the service, some of them, and they'll show me the pictures they drew. And they're pretty insightful. Their notes may be hieroglyphic, but they're very insightful. See, this is what you were talking about. One day I was mentioned something about a snake. And here is the snake, and Naomi had a detailed picture. They grasped something. They incorporated something because they took down some notes. They began to get those thoughts on paper. Now, I know that sometimes the things move quickly and you might miss a point. That's okay. You can go listen to it online later if you want to do that. But what are you doing to listen eagerly? That's my challenge to you. Not only that, but the Word of God can be eagerly received and carefully examined when we not only hear it for the first time and read it, but we have it stored up in our hearts. Right? Store it up. We're told to hide the Word of God in our hearts, to plant it deep there. These people, when they heard Paul talking about these scriptures, because, you know, Paul's kind of rapid fire out of the Old Testament, right? He's bringing out all these Old Testament passages, building the case that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Christ, that he's the one that's pointed to. I would love to have been there, heard that kind of sermon. God in his providence didn't provide us with the text of most of Paul's sermons. But the men who were there, they had prepared themselves, they're hiding God's word in their hearts to be able to hear the reasoning. Why did Paul go to the synagogues first? He knew that they were always going to kick him out and create a riot. But why did he go there? Because that is where men were more prepared to receive the gospel. They were more prepared to receive the gospel because they had already had exposure to the Word of God, which pointed to Christ. So, shouldn't we be desiring the same thing? So I encourage you, hide the Word of God in your heart. Find a way. Some of you will say, I can't memorize. What's your phone number? Well, that's not a really valid question anymore. In the age of cell phones, half of us don't know our phone numbers. But you know your birthday. There are things we can memorize. Hide the Word of God in your heart. Store it up. And then the last thing that we remember hearing from our confession, our catechism question, is that those who hear the Word of God are to produce fruit from it. How will your life be different today because you heard the Word of God? How will your life be different tomorrow because you heard the Word of God? Notice what happens. The people hear because they examined the Scriptures daily to see if what Paul said was true. Many of them therefore believed. It wasn't just because they heard a sermon and they saw a bright light and everything became clear, but because they went back and they wrestled with what Paul was saying, how it applied to them, their need for it. They believed. And then, not only that, because they were brothers now, not just hearers, but brothers, they took a vested interest in making sure that Paul wasn't captured, to get him safely to the next place. What kind of fruit does the Word of God bear in your life? How will your life be different because you heard God's Word today? The men of Berea were more noble. They were men of good beginnings because they received the Word eagerly and examined the Scriptures daily to see if what Paul the Apostle, who's a pretty good preacher in anybody's book, and authoritative, but only so far as he follows Christ. Only so far as he preaches the Word of God. Let us do the same. Let us receive the Word with eagerness. Let us examine the Scriptures daily to see if what we are hearing, what we are wrestling with in life, the world around us that speaks one message into our life, to be able to understand whether to believe that or not. and because the Word of God is truth. That's my encouragement to you today. Receive the Word with eagerness. Search the Scriptures daily so that you will hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to you clearly. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your faithfulness to give us your Word, and we thank you for being a God who speaks, for the miracle of giving us the Word of God, for the miracle, because we know, Father, it is the craziest thought in the world that the God of all the universe, who is transcendent, would speak to his creatures. But Father, we thank you that you have done so, and in hearing your Word, we realize your perfections and our imperfections, but we realize also that you have extended to us grace and mercy and hope. You have given us this Word that you might draw us into something eternal, into a life that goes beyond the borders of our breathing and our hearts beating and our brain's activity, an eternal life that you offer us in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you that you are a God of mercy and forgiveness, a God who loves mercy according to your Word. Father, we recognize that when we read your Word, that we have indeed fallen short and that we deserve your wrath and punishment. But Father, you speak to us of grace and mercy. And it is your kindness that leads us to repentance. So we pray, Father, that we would look to your Word, that we would see your kindness as a God of loving mercy extended to us in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for the day that you have given us to come together. And I pray that you would sow these things deeply into our hearts. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to attend to our needs. We pray especially for those that are sick today, for Miriam, especially, and for a need for wisdom and discernment about how to proceed with her care. We just pray for your sustaining mercies in her life, that you would give Les and David and Melanie clarity as they are seeking to understand how to proceed with her care right now. Father, we just pray for responsiveness from doctors and those in the medical community and judgment for them. Father, for others that are struggling with illness today, we pray for your hand of healing, your hand of encouragement. Help them not to be overwhelmed and discouraged. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to walk with us in the midst of spiritual trial. We know that this is a discouraging time in our nation, and there are a great many spiritual trials that beset us. But we know, Father, that you are the God who has raised us up to be seated with Christ in the heavenly places, and you give us every spiritual blessing in him. So we pray, Father, that you would help us not to be overwhelmed and discouraged, but to realize that you indeed are on your throne. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness in all these things. And we pray in the name of our Savior, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.